Good morning. Now, this could last 5 minutes or it could last 35 minutes. I have no idea. So you're going to have to bear with me. Having quite a few problems over the last couple of days here at the Richie Allen show. Richie Allen radio show. Towers. That's right. Real network problems and connectivity problems. Basically, suite of computers here in the studio not connecting to the network or connecting to the network intermittently. And then the signal disappearing. And I've got people working on that. And I've been on to the provider about it. And I'm hoping that it's slowly but surely getting resolved. This laptop here, which I'm using this morning, I've lost connectivity a couple of times this morning. So hence, we could be here 5 minutes. We could be here a half an hour. But I'm hoping that by the end of the day anyway, that the problem will be resolved. So apologies for the interruption in service over the last couple of days. I'm as frustrated. In fact, I'm 5 times more frustrated than you are because it's my thing, isn't it? I've got to deal with it. I'm here trying to sort it out. So there you go. Anyway, we'll have a look through the front pages of the newspapers now. I almost feel like I'm racing against the clock here, to be honest, because I do expect the signal to drop out at some stage, but maybe I'm being pessimistic. Maybe it won't. Maybe it'll hold, and maybe the connection will remain, at least for the purpose or for the duration even of this conversation. Couple of great radio shows yesterday and Monday, well, would have been great, were unable to go ahead, but I'm rescheduling the guests as I go along, and we'll work it out, because we can work it out, you know. Let's have a look at the front page of the Daily Mail. Coverage of the Jeremy Corbyn Boris Johnson debate last night. What have I done now? Have I lost the Daily Mail? Have I lost it? No, I haven't. I've got it. Jeremy Corbyn and Boris Johnson debated in Salford last night at Media City in Salford on ITV, and it was the first of several scheduled debates between now and the December 12th election. Did you watch it? I'm sure some of you did. I'm sure some of you couldn't be arsed. Let's have a look at the papers. Laughable Mr. Corbyn. In bruising first TV debate, he refuses 9 times to say if he'd back a Brexit deal, to mocking derision of studio audience. A YouGov poll commissioned by Sky News, which published, I think, about 10 minutes after the debate concluded last night, had them in a dead heat. 51% of those surveyed by YouGov said they thought Johnson carried the debate. 48% or 49%. 49%, of course, do your maths, said that Corbyn came out better, or came out the better of the two. The newspapers, of course, depending on their editorial line, the Daily Mail is a conservative supporting newspaper, the Telegraph is a conservative supporting newspaper, they're taking the position that Johnson did better over the course of the 60-minute debate. It was pretty rubbish, really, for a number of reasons. But I won't get into it with you here. That's the Mail. The Guardian. Leaders stake their ground. Johnson, Brexit, Corbyn on DNHS. That's the Guardian today. The Financial Times. Johnson survives hazardous duel with Corbyn in first TV debate, is the Financial Times front page today. Wasn't very much hazardous about it, I didn't think. Insults fly at leaders' TV debate. Well, that's a stretch in the eye paper. That's a pretty big stretch. As far as heated exchanges went, it was fairly benign by comparison to other debates we've seen, you know, in US elections and beyond. It was pretty tame, really. That's the eye paper. Let's move on from the eye paper. Let's have a look at the Times then. The Times, neck and neck after TV clash. That's about right. Labour say plans Labour tax plans even could cost £1 billion. The Institute for Fiscal Studies has come out today against the spending plans expected to be announced in Thursday's Labour Party manifesto. They haven't published yet. Here's the Express. Corbyn dodges Brexit question 9 times. Jeremy Corbyn's position is that he will take 3 months in the new year to negotiate a new deal with the European Union that will protect our jobs, protect our standards and all this crap. And he says the new deal negotiated by him would then be put to the public in a deal versus remain referendum. So you would get to choose between the deal negotiated by Corbyn or remain. I'll have it all done in a jiffy, says Jeremy Corbyn. He refuses to say how he would campaign. So he's not saying, well, I would campaign to remain or I would campaign to leave. It's ridiculous. Here's the Mirror. Andrew Copp's notebook holds key evidence. Call for Metropolitan Police to hand over protection officer log on the Duke's movements. This is all about the time that Prince Andrew spent in New York, when he was with Epstein, when he wasn't with Epstein, where he was when he wasn't with Epstein, and all the rest of it. Lots and lots of Andrew stories in the newspapers today. You won't be surprised, of course. The fallout continues from his interview with the BBC last Saturday. The Sun goes with Poison Prince Andy cancels first public visit. Plug pulled by 5 big backers. Number of stories today about friends, business acquaintances. Talked about this yesterday briefly before I was cut off yesterday. People abandoning him because he is now perceived to be toxic. The Metro. Worst NHS maternity scandal ever. A lot of health stories in the papers today. A lot of stories about the failing NHS. The Metro going with an image of Corbyn and Johnson there. They did shake hands, didn't they? Didn't they shake hands at one point? Didn't Julie Etchingham, the moderator, at one stage say politics has become very toxic? Why don't you guys set the standard and shake hands? It was all rather pathetic, really. But there you are. That's the Metro. The Star. Fan Dabby Dozy. Legend Christopher Biggins blames PC nuts for ending Cranky's panto career. Now, I'm a child of the 70s and I grew up in the 80s. So the Crankies were a staple on Saturday morning television in the UK. And that's Jeanette Tough there and Ian Tough. They play the Crankies. Well, she plays Jimmy Cranky. She's a lovely lady, actually. She took both of them took part in a BBC documentary recently, which you might have seen. It's very good. In fact, a number of senior citizens, the Little and Large comedy duo, Stanley Johnson, Stephanie Beecham, went out to India to investigate what life would be like for senior citizens if they were to go and retire in India. And for all the criticism I level at the BBC, it was a brilliant series of programmes, really, really interesting and very eye-opening. And the Crankies came across as really lovely people, particularly Jeanette there, who was a very slight and small lady. But anyway, the story inside the Star, if you're interested, is that pantomimes, which is panto unique to the UK, is it pantomimes? I couldn't begin to define what a pantomime is. I've never been to one. I know that they are send-ups of traditional fairy tales like Snow White and other fairy tales, where you often have male actors playing female parts and vice versa. A lot of slapstick in there. Jean-Anne, help me out. How do you define panto? But anyway, in the post-common sense era that we all inhabit now, lots of the old gags are being written out of pantomimes. Lots of, you know, the risque gags, maybe, because they are not fit for these woke times. Christopher Biggins, who's a panto legend in the UK, Biggins is saying the Crankies are amongst, there they are, it's a nice picture there of Ian and Jeanette. The Crankies are finding themselves kind of left by the wayside, finding that they don't have a place in modern panto. Funnily enough, they haven't commented, have Jeanette and Ian, they haven't commented. Apparently there's some accusation that Jimmy Cranky, you see, Jeanette there plays a boy called Jimmy Cranky, wears a very old-fashioned school uniform with the little cap and the short trousers, the shorts. Apparently they've been called transphobic. Don't look at me. Apparently. So that's inside the Star. Have you been to see the panto, you have? Have you been to see any panto? I've never been to any panto. Just not my cup of tea, not my bag. Yeah, so good morning. I presume we're still streaming. I think we are. Are we? We are. Okay. Again, sincere apologies for the messing around. Well, nobody's been messing around, but the problems yesterday and the problems Monday, they're beyond my control, and smarter people than me are working on it now. I'm still streaming at the moment, which is good. So I'm here, and we'll see how far we get this morning. Right. So those were the front pages of the papers. Then let's have a look at some of the stories inside. Speaking of transphobia, this is in the Times today. A feminist speaker has been basically cancelled at Oxford Brookes University. Last minute talk was due to be given by Rachel Ara, a feminist. But the society who organises these talks and these debates received a letter from some trans people, presumably, saying that Rachel Ara is a trans-exclusionary radical feminist, or a TERF. This is a term that's come to be used very often, used very widely. You see it all the time now in the newspapers. And a trans-exclusionary radical feminist basically means that it is a woman, a feminist, who excludes trans women, who doesn't accept the existence of trans women, and therefore is obviously a very hateful person, and therefore shouldn't be allowed to speak. And increasingly, despite the government saying that it's intervening here, the government has intervened. You know, the government has said, has challenged universities to stop this. And the government has said that you know, universities will be compelled to stop people being deplatformed just because a few outraged individuals believe that they will somehow be hurt or tainted by the presence of the speaker they don't like. So feminist speaker cancelled after students accuse her of transphobia. I hate these terms. Nobody is scared of trans men and women. And, you know, it equally homophobic or homophobia. I don't know anybody who is scared of gay people. I know Christian evangelicals think that gay people are the devil. They are the devil. Or they are the result of the devil's work. But they're morons. Let them think what they want. They don't do anybody any harm. But this is just another example. It's in the Times today. This particular woman, Rachel Ara, had the gall to suggest that trans women, basically a man who identifies as a woman, has no place in a female prison and that they should be jailed separately. How dare the feminist suggest that, even though we've had a couple of examples recently where men who identify as women have gone to prison and sexually assaulted female prisoners. So it's in the Times today. Yeah. Lunacy, really. Isn't it? Here's an interesting one. You probably saw this yesterday. It's in RT. It's in all the papers today. The prison guards charged with keeping a close eye on Jeffrey Epstein when Epstein was in prison in New York. In jail, I should say, in New York. They've been accused of falsifying their reports to make it look like they were checking on Jeffrey Epstein when they weren't. That's the allegation anyway. It's being alleged that they slept on their watch. Now, I don't believe this for a minute, personally. Okay, I don't have any evidence to say this is untrue, but I don't believe it. I don't believe that. Look, am I saying that security guards and people couldn't fall asleep? I'm not saying that at all. But I'm saying the best people would have been put on Jeffrey Epstein watch because of the nature of who Jeffrey Epstein is and because of the allegations made against him and because of the reporting around Epstein, because of allegations that very high profile people, very famous people, were watching the Jeffrey Epstein case very closely and all the rest of it. I just don't believe it. I don't believe it. I believe this is part of the cover up. Epstein didn't hang himself in his jail cell. He was murdered, I believe. And we know that a former New York coroner who's been employed by Jeffrey Epstein's brother, we know that he believes that Epstein was murdered, that he had his neck broken. So the notion that these two guys fell asleep and then falsified their logs, their data logs, got to take it with a big pinch of salt, I think. But that's in RT today. While the debate was going on last night, there was outrage because the Conservative Party changed their online name to, well, this is the Conservative Party press team, not the Conservative Party's own Twitter account, but the Conservative Party's press management people changed their own Twitter handle to Fact Check UK. You see, it's a CCHQ press. Okay? That's who they are. They manage the press. They manage the media for the Conservative Party. It's what they do. They're employed by the Conservative Party. But during the debate last night, they changed their Twitter handle to Fact Check UK, which is outrageous, really. Because they were given the impression, and some people would have had the misunderstanding that they are, or they were last night, an independent body fact-checking what was being said during the debate. There is an organisation called Fact Check UK, by the way. So this is fairly outrageous. It's beyond cheeky, this. And there's a bit of fallout today. Be interesting to see what happens. It's alleged that the rebranded account could have fooled potential voters, that the messages praising Boris Johnson could have been coming from an independent fact-checking organisation rather than the Tories themselves. Little bit clumsy, that. Little bit silly. But a lot of the papers covering it today. Speaking of Andrew, I'm jumping back and forth between different stories. Interesting article in the Daily Mail today. How does he pay for it all? The numbers don't add up. How does the grand old Duke live this millionaire party boy jet set lifestyle when you look at his income? His £20,000 a year Navy pension and the £250,000 a year given to him by his mother for doing feck all. How does he pay for it? The new Bentley, the gold watch, the trips. Well, they say that really it's friends of his, very, very wealthy men of means, mostly men of means, that help fund this jet set lifestyle. You have to wonder about that too, don't you? Who these people are and their interest in him and his relationship with Jeffrey Epstein. But it's in the Mail today, going through his finances. Like I said, the UK press is not letting this go, which is good. Far as people abandoning Prince Andrew, he has been, I don't know whether he's being urged to quit as a patron of the English National Ballet. That decision might be taken out of his hands today. There's a picture of him with some fetching ballet dancers taken in 2011. So it's an old picture, that, really, isn't it? Are we to believe he's not been to the Bally since? But yeah, organisations that have associated with him, organisations that he has acted as patron for, seem to be running for the hills today, yesterday, since the interview went out over the weekend. What else have we got for you? What else have we got for you today? It's coming up for 10 to 10. I think we'll do another 10 minutes. We won't, because I've got some, I will have some work going on the network. I don't want to take too many chances. So I'm just looking at what we can get through, because there's lots of stuff here. During the debate last night, the royal family did come up. There were a couple of questions. Well, there was a question about the royal family. I think Jeremy Corbyn said the royal family needs improvement. And I think Boris Johnson said the royal family is beyond reproach, if I'm right. Yes, I think that's what they said. Pathetic from Corbyn. But then, I know I hate to labour this particular point, but these men swear an allegiance to Queen Elizabeth and to all of her heirs, so help them God, when they are elected as MPs. This is why Sinn Féin, the Irish Republican political party, won't take their seats in Westminster, even though they win seats. Of course, they contest seats in the north of Ireland and win them, but they've never sent an MP to Westminster. Well, I shouldn't say never. They haven't sent MPs to Westminster for a long, 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 long time, because they won't swear the allegiance. The oath of allegiance is, I swear by Almighty God, something like that, that I will bear true and faithful allegiance to Queen Elizabeth and all her heirs. And Corbyn swore that before he entered Parliament, because if he didn't, he wouldn't have been allowed in. So yeah, I'm not going to spend too much time talking about the debate, but Andrew came up, and then Jeffrey Epstein briefly came up, briefly, because I think Corbyn saw an opportunity for a bit of virtue signalling and said something along the lines of, before we even talk about Prince Andrew, let's take a minute to talk about the victims. Yeah. Right. But Corbyn mispronounced Epstein's name, allegedly. Well, at least according to the UK-based comedian David Baddiel. Well, he's English, David Baddiel, isn't he? UK-based, he's English. Every Jew watching noticed that David Baddiel tweets his concerns as Jeremy Corbyn mispronounces Jeffrey Epstein's surname as Epstein. Epstein, sparking another anti-Semitism row as Labour leader and Boris Johnson dodge Prince Andrew question in debate. What's this all about? What's this all about? Corbyn did say Epstein or Epstein. I did hear that. A lot of people pronounce those surnames like that. I would say Epstein. It looks like Epstein to me. But anti-Semitism, apparently. Every Jew watching noticed that, said David Baddiel. David Baddiel is behaving like a fishwife. The BBC has surely got to rethink its decision to give David Baddiel the job of investigating anti-Semitism in the UK in the current climate, in modern times. David Baddiel couldn't claim to be an objective presenter, an objective traveller, an objective journalist. He calls himself a Jewish atheist, which is an oxymoron. He spends a lot of time on Twitter talking about hatred towards Jews, or his perceived, how he perceives that we live in a climate where there is a lot of hatred towards, a lot of dislike, antipathy towards Jewish people. How, in the name of all that's ethical, Baddiel could be the guy then to go about the country investigating whether anti-Semitism is rife in the UK or not escapes me, because Badil has made his mind up. He spends a lot of time swapping tweets with people like Rachel Riley and Alan Sugar, lamenting what a desperately dangerous time this is for Jewish folks in the UK. It's a pile of monumental bollocks. It's horse shit. And that's all that needs to be said about it. Dreadful. Epstein. How could Epstein? Maybe Corbyn sees it as Epstein. The allegation is that Corbyn wanted everybody watching to know that Epstein is Jewish. I mean, that doesn't hold water at all. Everybody knows that Jeffrey Epstein is Jewish. It's been made clear in many stories about Epstein that Epstein is Jewish. Right? They're having a go at Corbyn again today. Of course, what they're really scared of course is that people will find out that Jeffrey Epstein or Epstein or Epstein or Epstein or Epstein, however the fuck you pronounce his name, was working for Mossad. Which I believe he was. I believe his houses, his properties, his island were wired for sound and vision, and they were there for the purpose of entrapping powerful men and women and building leverage against men and women. And I don't think I need to say any more than that, really. So that's in the mail today. Yep. Here's one that's interesting. It's in the Times. Ayahuasca. Some of our listeners will be very interested. Mystical drug offers clue to consciousness. It's in the Times. You have to subscribe to the Times to read it, sadly for you. But it's in the Times there. Picture of Sting there. Big picture of Sting. Picture of Lindsay Lohan as well. Has Lindsay Lohan taken ayahuasca? And interesting story about it and the history of people taking it. Claims made that it can basically bring you into a state of having a waking dream, how it can give you an insight into things that maybe, you know, you couldn't otherwise get. Had guests and people coming on the radio shows over the years talking about it. I have no opinion on it. Psychedelic things. I've never experimented, so I don't know. But it's an interesting one. I know that some of you will be interested in that. So it's there if you want to read it. It's in the Times. You have to buy the Times, of course. Here's a very interesting story. It's in the Irish Times. Narcolepsy case estimated cost to state of €4 million after vaccine settlement. Let's have a look at that. Oh God. Okay. I'm hoping I'm back. I disconnected momentarily there. I saw the disconnection and I've reconnected, but it's going to happen again and again and again. So I apologize for that. It's shockingly shite, this. I don't know what to do about it. It might put paid to the radio show later on. I have no idea. Okay. But there you are. Look, I'm going to cut it short then, because it's just going to keep disconnecting and reconnecting. I'm going to cut it short and leave you and love you this morning, because it's just dropping out all the time. Just to explain again what's been going on. The network keeps dumping the suite of computers that makes up the studio and all the devices, keeps dumping us off and on the network intermittently. And I don't know why that is. And some very smart people have looked at this thus far and they can't figure it out either. So there you are. Yeah. Comments about paying the bill are not very funny. And I've got a very good sense of humour. It's you know, if you dried that one out, you could fertilize the lawn with it. You know, we pay a lot of money here. The radio show pays a lot of money to stream, and also a lot of money to our internet provider for the services we get. A lot of money. So I'm very frustrated about it. Do you understand that? Do you understand that? I'm very fucking frustrated about it. Because it's embarrassing for me. Because we've got state-of-the-art equipment here in this studio. We've got everything. We've got BBC standard equipment. We've got the whole fucking lot. We've got the whole lot here. And yet, we're at the fucking mercy of a network provider. So we are. So anyway, I've been up all fucking night with it. Hence my countenance, my tiredness. I've been up all night with it. So I'll tell you what I'm going to do. I'm going to go now anyway. We've looked at the front pages of the papers. We've looked at a few stories inside. So I'm going to go and hopefully we'll be with you at 5 o'clock. I've already booked some guests for 5 o'clock. And I don't want to be jerking people around. One way or another, we'll get it sorted. Hopefully sooner rather than later. In the meantime, just bear with me, eh? It's been a great 5 years. Very, very rarely has anything like this happened. But shit does happen. So either, you know, accept it and roll with the punches, improvise, adapt and overcome, or just fuck off. It's as simple as that, isn't it? I'll see you later. Bye for now.